Yes, we can be fueling loud or fueling sleeping. No, sleep is not an option.
We are very blessed to be here this morning. We are like to this time for you quickly look at the person beside you and says, I'm glad you're here. In our church, when we use the word fellowship, most of us think about Better Living Center. we know that Brother Steve has done such a beautiful ministry. And can you say amen?
Amen.
Unless you're not hungry, you don't say amen. Brother Steve has been always leading, and we also are very grateful for those that helps him. We know that he has help in the people that assist him. And a ministry that every week we sit here, we worship, and then we have the time to fellowship. By the way, just for you to know, it's not a secret, but Monday is a very special day for Brother Steve. He's going to be taking the day off. It's his birthday. So don't forget to say something to him, okay? And it's a blessing to have people that is dedicated as he is in our church. We appreciate it very much.
Amen.
The topic for today, last week was friendship. And we know that we mentioned that the definition for one of the definitions for friendship is the one who is tied, joined to the hip, right? Yeah. That's why the word hip right there in the end of friendship. Friends, hip. And so the same thing with fellowship. There is a hip there of a fellow's hip. And today we decide to talk about fellowship, but in a different perspective that we are usually use this word. Of course, you do see in the word fellowship, you see the word ship. Why do they have all this ship? And that's because it's a place. If you look at the old English, when they use those, when they create those words, they have a more deep meaning than we, today we use the words, we don't even analyze why is this word together, why two words together. But there is always a purpose. And if you realize how painful and sometimes even many people start their trip and never arrive at the port. They were just dumped on the sea because they were dying of a disease or something. So to stay sometimes even months inside of a ship, you do develop a relationship. And so that is one of the faith, I would like to call faith fellowship. To this, instead of just regular fellowship, this would be a fellowship that we have together because of what we believe. The way, that's what brings us together. So I call faith fellowship, which is a community of believers. And you notice I like always to look into words inside of the words. Is there, in community, there is you and I. It's always important. That's what defines what community is, you and I. A community of believers, sharing common values and also interests. That is a broad definition of what is a faith fellowship. Key elements of faith fellowship. Personal choice, just like we mentioned about friendship as well. Unlike family, you choose your faith community. How do you choose? By accepting and believing the same way they believe. In other words, if you say, I'm part of this church, but I don't believe the way this church teaches, you're lying. You're not part of the church. You're pretending. You can only say I'm part of something when you are committed to what you are part of. You cannot say, I'm married to this person, but I haven't seen her for 10 years. That's not a marriage. That is a piece of paper. It's a contract. But it's not the way you define. The same way we cannot define community when there's no you there. Try to read community without the you. If you are not there, there is no community. The same thing, I need to be there as well. And they choose you. In our church, in some churches, sadly, are becoming more relaxed about the procedures. And on this church here, we do this way. If somebody's accepted by profession of faith, the person stands before you, and we read all the beliefs, the 13 vows, and the person says, yes, I believe. That person tells you, I believe the way you believe. Would you accept me? That's the way it's supposed to be. Membership is not just a, let me enter your name here in a book and that's it. Membership is commitment. You cannot say, I'm going to be part-time part of your family. When you are part of the family, you are full-time. You have to be, you and I have to be committed. So they choose you and you choose them. Mutual faith. A community that shares common beliefs, common goals, respect, principles, interests, and hope. You need to have all of them. You cannot sacrifice one of them and still claim to be part of the community. You must. And by the way, respect cannot be required. Respect is something that you give. If you have, you give. If you don't have, you have no clue how to give. Biblical fellowship. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which then connects us to true biblical believers, one to another in the body of Christ. Now, some people may say, how can you be part of the body of Christ? I don't know. Have you seen this game that sometimes they show to children that you take the arm and put the arm in place, take another arm and put the one person together, right? Imagine if you are picking an arm and put it here and you take the wrong arm from another doll and put two left arms in a person or two right arms. That's not the way. Every single part of our body has a purpose and is divinely planned to be that way. Same thing, you are not here by accident. God puts you here because you are needed here. God needs you, and each one of us need each other as well. It is about you and I. Mutuality and encouragement. Believers actively build each other up. You don't come here just to be entertained. If you do, church won't be that fun for you. You may go to another one where they have drums, they have all those things, they kick the termites out of the building with so much noise, so loud. You may choose to, if you are seeking entertainment, or if you church is about self, is what I need, what I want, then maybe church, your concept of church is a little bit different than the Bible tells us. Believers actually build each other. We are committed to help each other in every sense. Share our resources. When we give offering, when we give our time, when we give our thoughts, that's our resources. Their faith, we share our faith, our hope, and also we bear each other's burden. Every time I look at this, I think about the burden family, and it's very nice the burden family is here. So we share the burdens too. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, this is Galatians chapter 6, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, dear brothers and sisters, and I like this the way is this translation is, because it says, dear brothers and sisters, is the concept, dear family. That's what he's talking about. Dear family, if another believer is overcome by some kind of a sin, kick him out of the church or her. Now that's not what it says. You who are godly should gently, what is the word? Say gently, please.
Gently.
With gusto. Gently. and humbly help that person back into the right path. Not kick that person out to make things worse. Now you have to be driven by compassion, because if you're a family, you embrace that person and says, let me help you. Not compromise and say, it's just a little thing, just ignore. We cannot ignore, because if you're in your house and you see a little scorpion, little one, tiny little one, do you just ignore? Or a little snake, just a little one, tiny little thing, don't worry about it, will find a way out. Is that the way you act? If you act that way, you won't be around for long. We don't do this in a common sense. Why should we act that way towards the church as well? Do you know how the church became Rome? Because Rome knocked at the door and the church opened the door to Rome. And Rome came little by little. And look what happens to Christianity. All the soldiers, all the tortures, everything else was not able to defeat the church. And then Satan said something else. Oh, let me do something else. Let me convince them that it's okay to let us come in with our idols, with our ideas, with our false doctrines. And little by little, they came in. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation that, in other words, sometimes I tell people, you point a finger like this to somebody. Oh, you. And you don't realize that three of your fingers are pointing to you. You're three times more guilty than the person you point the finger to. And there is one that says, "Oop! God is watching. God is witness. Please be careful. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ, because Christ said clearly, we should love each other. We are part of the same body. If you think you are too important to help somebody, you are fooling yourself. And this is the part that, by the way, I didn't write this. Talk to Paul when you see him. You are not that important, he said. If you think that you are not that important, don't think like everybody has to worship you. Or we are all equal. It doesn't matter the gender, the color of your skin, or where you came from, how funny is your accent. It doesn't matter. We all, before God, we are equally important. So don't try to be more important than others. Pay careful attention to your own work. If you are assigned to do something, do the best you can to what you have been assigned for. Don't work in your thing and keep your eye on somebody else's work. Focus in what God has called you to do. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. I feel very sad when I see people, even sometimes with people that we hire to do things, that they are very sloppy. All their concern is, when am I going to get paid? It's all about the money, not the effort. It takes character for somebody to come and be honest and provide you something even beyond what you pay them for. Isn't that the kind of worker that we like to have, right? When you hire somebody will say, no, I'm going to go an extra mile. Oh, but here is extra. No. I have pleasure in the quality that I may produce. The same thing with the church. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Paul continues in verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should not provide for their Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. This, of course, it was talking before the ministry had a system that paid the ministries, okay? Don't be misled. That's very important. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. That is a fact of life. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So whatever you plant, that is what you harvest. I notice that sometimes people can be very easily criticizing when something is not working properly in the church. They say, oh, did you see? There are so many positive things that happens. Take your time, take your mind into look and search for what is good. And believe me, your life will be much better. Because those that spend energy to look for good always are good to be around. And believe me, it's very nice to be around good people, isn't it? You can say amen if you want. Right? Have you ever, do you know nice people? If you don't, look around. There are quite a few here. Yes. It's good to be around good people. But it's better to be the good people to be around by others. Be good. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Good is our nature. We need to be good because if we are good, goodness will be with us forever. Let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will do what? We will harvest what we plant. Of course, if we don't give up, I met a pastor. He's 92 years old now, and he still has such an energy. He still preaches. I don't know if you, some of you probably know the name Ranzolin. He was in a general conference. He always mentioned that his father was, because he has Italian blood, and his father was obsessed with cars, and he competed in races. And he says, my father dedicated his entire life in racing. We never have a time for the, it was always in the racing. And he finishes many times in second place, but never in his life in first. And that was one of the worst things that happened to him, because all that he was always talking about, it was always his concentration was in what he was not able to accomplish. Instead of looking how many millions of people that are involved in any project and never finish second. Some of you may say, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. There are billions of people. They'll do everything they have just to sit where you are now. Amen. You have no clue how privileged you are. Amen. I don't think you have. I hope you should spend a little bit more time to see how blessed you are. Therefore, whatever you have, the opportunity, the word opportunity means an open door. You see the right there in the middle of the word opportunity, port means door, and then ends with unity, you and I. Opportunity, open door for you and I. Opportunity. We should do good to how many people?
Everyone.
Especially those from the church. Amen. Do you pray for each other? When you don't see a person that is supposed to be in that empty space beside you, do you bother to take time to call somebody that was supposed to be there? If you don't, something is wrong. Especially to those in the family of faith, especially those of our faith fellowship. Accountability and protection. Through loving truth and gentle correction, regular gathering or fellowship guards us against what? is spiritual ignorance and errors, is spiritual deception and sin, and hardened heart and apostasy. Those three element things that we receive when we have a church to belong to. We told you the true good news message or the gospel message, Paul said. So anyone who tells you a different message should be condemned. In some versions says cursed. Be careful, because some people will, in a disguised way, try to bring you some false doctrines. Oh, have you heard this? And there you go. Even if it is one of us, even an angel from heaven, be careful. Lies a lie, doesn't matter the mouth that delivers it. Lie is a lie. I said this before, and I will say it again, Paul says. It's so important, I'm going to say it again. You have already accepted the good news. Anyone who tells you another way to be saved should be condemned. Sometimes people are looking for fellowship just because they want to be with somebody. They don't care what body is that. By the way, if all that you want is to be with somebody, the morgue has people that don't move. You can sit there and watch the whole day, and there will be no complaint, there will be no problem. You don't come. Faith fellowship. Those of you that like lists, you can take your phone and make a copy of this. Faith fellowship gives us this. It gives us a picture of God. It makes us stronger. It provides us encouragement. It helps us grow. It gives us eternal principles. It gives us eternal purpose. And also reminds us where we are not alone. We belong. It reminds us that we belong. This is what a church provides to us. There's another list. A community, you and I, of faith is a place for this. It's a place for relationship. It is a place for friendship. It is a place for membership. Yes, it has its value. It is a person for stewardship. It is a place for discipleship, fellowship, and worship. This is what the church, this is the perspective of what a church is all about. You cannot say, I want to be part of the church, but I do not like number four. I want a free ride. I don't want to pay the bills. I want to complain if the air conditioner is not working, but I do not give any money to pay for the electrical bill. Or some people say, oh, I like to be part of the church, but I don't like to share the gospel with anybody. I'm too shy for that stuff. Do you know when you return God's tithe? Return, not give. When you return God's tithe, that part of that you return here comes back to the church, goes to the conference, the union, the division, general conference, and the whole world receives part of your returning. The whole world. When you take one envelope and put the tithe, God's tithe inside, the whole world will receive. So you are preaching if you are faithful. If you are giving, you are preaching. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You don't have a degree. You don't have an MD. You don't have a doctor degree, so you're not that relevant. Or you don't have you don't drive a very expensive car, you're not important. Or you're not the head elder, so you're not important. Or you're not the pastor, you're not important. You're not a male or female. You know, all those excuses that people use to discredit the value of each person. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. No, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually very important. So don't feel less important than anybody in the church. You are important. So brothers and sisters, here comes, so congregation, so church, what should we do then? When we meet together, one person has a song. It may be Brother Benizer, or Brother Manuel, or somebody else may have a song. Then another has a teaching. My brother Calvin wants to stand up and teach. Or another has a new truth from God. And I hope the truth is from God. One person speaks in a different language. Somebody may come here and start speaking Swahili. Sabaton Jema, and you have no idea what that is. But then comes Brother Cleveland and translates for us what that means. So that's what we talk about. And by the way, the Bible text is not talking about the those silly things that all the people, it's talking about real languages, okay? And another interprets that language. The purpose of whatever you do should be to help everyone grow strong in the faith. Every single time you come to church, you have to say this to yourself. Today the church would be better because I have something to give. Amen. Today the church will be stronger because I come to give. Today I will see Jesus in my brother and my sisters. Today I will be an honorable part of that body that God asked me to be part of. A community, you and I, of faith is a place where what? Mercy mirrors change. By the way, many people use mercy and think that mercy is a compromise, is just an excuse to allow you to continue doing bad things. No, mercy always, without any exception, is always God inviting you to change. Correction reveals godly compassion. Accountability is true love and respect. Grace signifies a new beginning. Prayer epitomizes power. Power embodies service, and service represents godliness. That's what a service is all about. God served first so that we learn how to serve. This is another, and by the way, I'm biased. I make all my lists in seven. I like seven. So all my lists here, with a few exceptions, but most of them are seven. Biblical fellowship is one of the most important aspects of our existence. If you believe that, then the church will be relevant for you. If you think the church is just a place for me to spend some time together just to see my friends, maybe you have a wrong definition of what church is. Church is one of the most important aspects of your existence because it's not only about now, but it's also about eternity. Our relationship with God and His people are of eternal importance. Everything that you do here, the songs that you hear, you sing, the scriptures that you read, the thoughts that you share, everything has to do with eternity, or either to get it or to lose it. Our shared beliefs, convictions, and behaviors define our life purpose. Here are another list. Characteristics of biblical fellowship. Authenticity. We obey God's truth. Mutuality. We share God's truth. Empathy. We support each other. Mercy. We forgive each other. Honesty. We speak the truth in love. Humility, we serve each other. And of course, you and I, unity, we make the group a priority. It says here, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that our own hearts are not evil. Something is going on here. and believe in turn on your, let me read again. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Make sure that that doesn't happen. You must warn each other every day. While it is still today, it says, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Now in Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That should be our goal every time we get together. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Some people, their understanding about church is that I go there when I can. We need to commit to each other. Family is about commitment. We cannot say just, this is about me, it's not about them. Church is about us. And I noticed that when you look at the word church, do you know that what is in the middle of the word church? Think about the word church. What is in the middle of the middle of the word church? Not me, you. People say you. Not me, you. The middle of a church. And if you take the vowel, the only vowel in the word church, out, church has no sound. It's silence. It has no meaning. So in order for church to have meaning, it needs you. Without you, church has no meaning, has no purpose. As some people do, but encourage one another. Let's go to church, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. As we come close and close to the return of Christ, it's important to come to church. Here's another list. Biblical fellowship requires this. By the way, each list could be a whole sermon in itself. Biblical fellowship requires this. Devotion to God. Devotion to God's word. Devotion to God's will. Devotion to God's worship. Devotion to God's people. Devotion to God's commission. And devotion to God's mission. That's the key word that you heard there all the time is devotion. Full commitment. Body and mind present at all. Fellowship in the Bible says that it is sin to act in disobedience to God's will. God's will is God's character. You cannot be part of the body without reflecting the nature of the body. Gossip is spreading the weak, gospel is spread by wicked people. And sometimes we find those things in church. If they don't belong, that doesn't belong here, but sometimes it comes. They stir up trouble and break up, what it says there? I like to change this word with God's permission, I will do it here. Gospel is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and they break up churches. They break up fellowships. They break up relationships. And a lot of the ships go down because the poison that may come from the tongue, as James talks. That's Proverbs 16:28. Can two people walk together if each one have their own sense of direction? They have to agree in what direction they're going before they can really walk together. That's the same thing in marriage. That's the same thing in church. That's something in every aspect of life. If you want to walk together with somebody, you need to have the same purpose, direction. How can you say you walk with Christ when Christ is going one way and you are going totally different way? Happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where the sinners go. And by the way, there are a lot of people that they come to church on Sabbath, and God knows where they go the 6 days. Be careful where you go. Go where saints are, and you become saint. go where sinners are, and you're going to smell like a sinner. Who don't do what is evil people do? It says, let me read this again because I paused. Happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teaching. Amen, I do. It looks like I'm all by myself. I do. I do. I do love the Lord's teaching. I do. He has changed my entire life. He has given purpose for my existence. And I'm very grateful. And they think about those teachings day and night. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. When the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you can stand outside and knock on the door and say this, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer this, "I do not know you or where you come from." Luke 13, 25, 26 says this, "Then you will say this, we ate, we participate in your fellowship hall every we enjoy the meals together. We went to your church. We know where Vista Church is." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you. And you taught in the streets of Vista." But he will say to you this, "I don't know you or where you come from. Go away from me, you who do evil." Isn't that sad, a very sad part of the Bible? You find something related in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 21, 22, and 23, in the Sermon on the Mount as well. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, as what? What was his custom? This is talking about Jesus. What was his custom? To go to church. How many Sabbaths a year? It says every Sabbath. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and did what? Participate. He was not just there sitting in the corner doing nothing. He participated as his custom was. Luke used the same terminology when he talked about the apostles celebrating every Sabbath. It says, as their custom was, same terminology he used. It says, we, and this in conclusion says, we announce to you, this is our scripture for today, we announce to you what we have seen and heard because we want you to have fellowship with us. Let me read this in a different way. We announce to you, my brother and sister, we have done this from the pulpit today. We have announced to you what we have seen and heard because we want you to be part of our church. We want you to be with us. We want you to be with us when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us into the kingdom. 3 o'clock, right side of the tree of life, right? Our fellowship is with our God Father and His Son Jesus Christ. May God bless you and be always committed to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. Christ is coming. I know He is. Amen. He has promised thousands of times, He has promised, "I'm coming back." Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me, He said. I'm going to prepare a place for you because I want you to be where I am. That's what is part of the body because He is the head of the body. So He says, "I need you. You're a part of the body. I'm coming back for you." So I hope and I pray that you spend more time analyzing this awesome privilege that you have. God called you to be part of His family. You are His kid. God bless.